challenge and read reading the ten chapters a day, I accepted my own challenge, and I'm 7 chapters behind. Amen. 7. I'm 7 chapters behind. I'd like to tell you that, you know what, I just had so much to do that I just didn't have the time to get those 7 chapters in. But as God is my witness, I just got a little lazy, and I just got diverted, and I didn't get back to it. And Sharon wouldn't wait on me. She read right on. And I tell her, honey, don't wait on me. Don't wait on me. You just keep plowing. Amen? Keep plowing. And so I'll catch up, the Lord willing. How are you doing? Anybody else have any confessions to make? Yes. 9 or 10 behind. You just said that to make your pastor feel good. I love you, Brother Philip. It's working. It's working. No. Who else? You behind, Brother John? Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you make me feel good. That disappoints me. You a bully, brother. I love you, Brother John. Brother Don? Man, Brother Don done brought the clock out. He's got a timer. Well, now, some of those chapters, brother, now listen to me. Some of those chapters are 70, 72. I think one we read in Luke today was 80, 81 verses. So, you know, give it some time. Get over in Philippians, Galatians, you know. Some of them chapters got 20 verses in it, Brother Don. Who else, Brother Chris? How you doing?
I'm 10 behind.
You 10 behind. Brother Chris?
8.
8. Brother Dan? Okay. Is there anybody on course? Hey, man, look at this. Raise your hand. Yeah, bunch of braggarts.
No.
Brother Don said he's on course, but it took him longer than I said so. Just keep reading the Word, brethren. I'm going to talk to you about that tonight. All right, I'm going to preach to you a little bit about loving the Word of God. Remember when, and we were talking last week out of Psalm 119, and we addressed a couple of things that at the heading, if you'll just look at verse number 1, there is a heading there, Aleph, and then every 8 verses, there's a heading. And that heading is, it corresponds with a Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 headings, and so each heading and the heading of those 8 verses corresponds with the Hebrew alphabet. Those 8 verses are a theme, and each 22 sections has the 8 verses. To my knowledge, I do believe this is correct. I believe that this is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in all the Word of God. We said last week it was 176 verses. These sections, these 8 verse sections, deal with themes. Last week we talked a little bit about separation and deliverance. This week I would like to talk to you about loving the Word of God. And I want you to look at verse number 41. And we'll read down through verse number 48. And it talks about how to have victory through the Word of God. And one of the things that we all know this. If you're a Christian and been saved for any length of time, you realize your victory, your relationship with God, your life is going to be directly in proportion to the time you spend in the Word of God. You're going to be as victorious. You're going to be as spiritually healthy. You're going to be as fervent and passionate about your walk with God as you are in your time that you spend in the Word of God. Because once you start getting God's Word in you and you do it consistently, it not only changes you from the inside, but it just swells up in you to where you want to get it out. And you'll begin not just to take in, you'll begin to give out. and you'll begin to share, and it just enhances your Christian experience. Here in Psalm 119 and verse number 41, I'm going to read down through verse number 48, and I want to make some comments out of verse number 48 that I think will be a help to us. I hope it will anyway. It's about loving God's Word. See if you pick up on that theme as we just kind of read this together. Would you stand to your feet, give you an opportunity to stand? I have three, I guess you would call them points or headings, and I want to make a comment on each one of them. And so I don't think it's going to be a very long message, but I can tell you that if you'll take the instruction that is given, it'll be a very helpful message to you. And so it's been to me. All right, let's look at verse number 41. Psalm 119, verse 41 through verse number 48. Again, this section, this eight-verse section, is dealing with victory through the Word of God. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Now here's the verse that I want to hone in on a little bit. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And one of the things that I think that you can't help but notice when you read this section and really through this psalm is that the Word of God is called by many different headings or titles: statutes, judgments, testimonies, thy word, commandments, precepts. I don't know if I said statutes or not, but if I did, I'll say it again. And so I think what the psalmist is doing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is saying God's word is just so rich, and it has so much to offer on so many levels. And each one of these words kind of help us to define a different way that the Word of God can shape and mold our lives. And I'll speak a little bit about that. But every verse, with the exception, I think there's four or five, and somebody can look this up and help me out here, out of the 176 verses, 171 of them have a mention of the Word of God. Some of them have more than one mention. So this psalm is about God's Word. And it's telling us how the Word of God can be our help. It's out of this 119th psalm in verse number 11 where the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so, do you love God's word? Now that's something only you can answer. And I think the psalmist is saying here, God, I love your word. And I want to continue to love your word. And as I love your word, I'm better for it. It makes me better when I'm in love with your word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And God, help us. Help me to have the attitude, the passion, the heart for your word that the psalmist had. And God, we do. We are thankful for your word. And we want to say we love your word, but God, I want to be careful. I know I ought to love your word, and I do, but I must question if I love it the way I should, and I want to. And so I pray you'd help me, help us as your people in these days in which we live to have a genuine, fervent love for your word, to the place to where we would delight in your law. And I pray you would stir our hearts to this end in this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. So I go through, and I'm just going to mention some. I'm just going to mention some of the headings, titles, names that the psalmist gives God's word, okay? Word, thy word have I hid in my heart. And so it's mentioned many, many times in this psalm. God's word is referred to as word. And so I went to the Strong's Concordance, and that means the oracle, the communication. It means spoken, counsel, promises, provision. And so God's word offers many things. It's very difficult for me to think about God's word without thinking of the word, Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Aren't you glad for God's word? And so it's the word, it's the oracles, it's the way that God communicates to us. He reveals himself to us through his word. Law, that's mentioned in many times in Psalm 119 and throughout the scripture. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19, is perfect, the psalmist said. And so law, that word is Pentateuch. It's dealing with the writings primarily of Moses, those first five books. It deals with the Decalogue. It deals with what we know as the Ten Commandments. But it, in a wider sense, it just deals with the laws of God. God has laid down some laws. Amen. Remember when you were coming up and someone would say, you know, boy, my dad laid down the law. Can I tell you, God has laid down the law, and he expects it to be followed. And so law, that if you look that word up and you get in your Strong's Concordance, it means Pentateuch, Decalogue, and it primarily deals with the Ten Commandments, but it deals as a whole body with the commandments, and we'll come back to that word in a moment. Statutes, very good word that's used often in the 119th Psalm. It's a prescribed action. It's a word of limits and rules. God has statutes that he expects us to know and to know what the limits are and to know. God does have rules, brethren. People say, well, you know, I don't want to go to no church where there's any rules. Well, why not? The home should have rules. The government should have rules. As a matter of fact, anything without rules is chaos. And so statutes, that's a good word. Precepts, instructions. It's instructions and a derivative. It comes from a derivative, precepts, from call to remembrance. Sometimes God has to call us through instruction to remember some things because we're such a forgetful people. And so I praise the Lord for the precepts of God. Testimonies, this is a good word, and it's a word that means the word of God. It's a word that is used to call out the word of God, to refer to the word of God, but in this way, as a witness, as a fixture. And I found this very interesting when you look in the Strong's Concordance at the word testimonies. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. And that word testimony means witness, it means fixture, but it means this, in the assembly. And I just found that interesting, that when we gather together and we look around, we see a fixture, we see a testimony of God's word. And all of us are a testimony of God's word. Look what God's word has done just in this building right here. Tonight, you know, we didn't do this ourselves. Now listen, our will was involved, but God's word changed my life and still is changing my life. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. I praise God that I don't know a whole lot, but I sure know more than I used to because the testimonies of the Lord have made me wiser as a man of God. Aren't you glad for God's word? Let me give you a couple of more. Ordinances is another title or a calling of God's word or a reference to God's word. ordinances. It's a decree. It's an order, or something done orderly. It's a custom. And of course, the ordinances of the Lord are laying out things that should be done in order, laying out things that should be done as a customary thing. And then judgments. This is another in the 119th Psalm, is used often as a reference to God's word. And the word judgments is simply a sentence. It's a determination. It's a verdict that God will render his judgments. Now, I went through that for a purpose. There's one that I left out on purpose. Because when we get into verse number 148, I want you to notice what the psalmist said in verse number 48 that he loved. And I want to talk to you about loving the Word of God. Loving God's Word. You know, it's real easy to get a little unbalanced right here. So, you know what? I love God's promises. God has promised me so much. And he has, brethren. God's promised us so much. Aren't you thankful for the promises of God? And in God's promises, there's provision and there's blessing. And we're thankful for God's promises. But you know, the psalmist, if you'll notice in verse number 48, he said, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments." That stuck out to me. Not thy statutes or thy ordinances. And he does use some things interchangeably. He uses thy word in verse number 1. He uses it again in verse number 2, thy word. He uses in verse number 43, he talks about thy judgments. In verse number 44, he talks about thy law. You see that? And then in verse number 45, he said, "I seek thy precepts." In verse number 46, he said, "I will speak of thy testimonies." And so he's referring to God's word in every one of these, but when it gets down to what he really loves, he loves it all, but he said, "You know, I just love that God has commandments." Now, that is a little strange to the flesh until you really began to do some, do a little inventory. It's God's commandments that keep me in line. It really is. You know, how many of you know that there's one of the words for sin, it means to miss the mark. And so because of our sin, we miss the mark. God created man with a purpose. And that purpose was going to be fulfilled until sin entered the picture. And that kind of knocked man off of the mark. I want you to follow me now. And so when man was knocked off the mark, there's no way that man could please God because he was knocked off the mark of which God had ordained for him when he created him. And that's why that word is given. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark in which God had created man for. But when Jesus came, he was made sin for us that we could get back in line and back in purpose for the reason that God created us in the beginning. And now I can fulfill God's original purpose that he had for my life, which was to glorify him, which was to worship him. In my sin, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that. But when Jesus saved me, he put me back in line and gave me his righteousness and the Spirit of God so that now I can do what I was originally created to do, which is to glorify God. You too. And so God's word put us straight. And here the psalmist said, "I'm going to give you three things about the love that I have for God's word." He said, first of all, the extent. He said, "I love God's word so much. I just don't love the precepts and the promises and the statutes and all that God's word has." He said, "I love the commandments." I just find that interesting. In verse number 48, he said, I will lift up unto my hands. He said, "I'm going to lift up unto thy commandments." He said, "I'm thankful for the commandments." Are you? I tell you, God's commandments they're difficult sometimes. Amen. And yet God gives them and he says, I expect you to keep them. As a matter of fact, if I do not obey God's commandments, I'm not going to realize the reality of being blessed by anything else that God has for me. It's going to put me outside of what God wants to do for me. Because I cannot be disobedient to the commandments of God and have fellowship with God. The commandments are important. And so when we think of the Word of God, God said, I want you not just to think about the precepts or the statutes, the things that make you wiser, the statutes or the precepts that give you instruction, that give you direction. He said, I want you to think about the commandments. And I want you to understand, if you'll keep those commandments, he said, I'll do something in your heart that nothing else will do. And so I want to show you just quickly what God means by that. Now, if you'll turn with me to John, would you turn there just for a moment? John 13. I'm just going to read you a few verses out of the Gospel of John. And we're talking about loving God's Word. Do you love God's commandments? When the Bible says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, does that kind of shake you up? Does it concern you? Does it set you back a little bit? Or do you say, you know what, I'm up to the challenge. God, as you're my helper, I want to keep your commandments. Here's what Jesus said. Are you in John? Let me get there. In John, chapter number 13, I think we read this a couple of weeks ago. John 13, verse number 17. Look at what Jesus said here. In John 13, in verse number 17. If you know these things, if you know the teachings, the commandments, that's not enough. So, well, I know what God said. That's not enough. You got to keep them. I know what the commandments are. It's not enough. It'd be better not to know them than know them and not do them. He said, if you know, in verse number 17, if you know these things, Jesus said, happy are ye if you do them. Do the commandments. Obey the commandments. Keep the commandments. What God said, do. What God said not do, don't do it. You want to have love in your heart? Now, I'm going to show you what the Scripture says here. When we keep God's commandments, it shows that we love Him. It shows that we love His Word. Jesus, turn if you would to chapter number 14. I think it's chapter 14, yes, verse number 15. John 14, look at verse number 15. Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, now Jesus is the Word. Amen. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now Jesus said that, not Moses. All right? Jesus did. So I'm under grace. Yeah, I know. And he which is full of grace and truth said this. If you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love God's word, you do what it says. You want to show God you love him? You want to show God you love his word? Then know what it says. But it's not enough just to know what it says. Then do what it says. Is that what the book teaches, brethren? Absolutely. We are living in a society that puts so much emphasis on what you know. What you know. What you know. What you know. Can I tell you, we need to get back to putting some emphasis on doing what we know. It's not enough just to know some things. God expects us to do what we know. And when we do, there's reward, great reward, great reward. And it's a way of us telling God. I can tell him with my mouth, and we'll get back to Psalm 119 and show that this psalmist actually showed this. I can tell God with my mouth all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you. But God said, you know, show me. Keep my commandments. Because if you love me, is that what Jesus said, brethren? Is that what the word says? Then keep my commandments. Look, if you would, go over to chapter 15 just for a moment. And I'll just read these scriptures. It's just amazing. And look, if you would, in John chapter 15, look at verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. This is what the Word of God is teaching. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings? Notice what he said in verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You want joy? You want this special kind of happiness that God has to offer? You can't have it without holiness. You just can't have it. People want happiness without holiness. I've got to tell you, God's happiness will not come without God's holiness. Amen? The Word teaches it, brethren. And we're living in a day where people want the benefits that God's Word has to offer without keeping the commandments that it is given. And so Jesus said in verse number 11, he said, and that your joy might be full. In verse number 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye, look at verse 14, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And so we go back to Psalm 119, and the psalmist said, you know, I love your commandments. Can you say that? So, well, I love God's Word. Do you love the commandments? Do you love it when God says, you cannot do this, thou shalt not. You must do this, thou shalt. And here, the psalmist said, I just love it that way. I love it because it's God's way of showing me where the boundaries are. It's God's way of showing me what I need to do and what I need not to do. And I need that in my life. And the psalmist said, I'm thankful. I love that. I love the commandments. That is the extent of it. He mentions, and he calls it by the word. He calls it by the judgments, by the law, by the precepts, by the testimonies. He said, but you know what I really love? I love all those things about God's word. He said, but I love those commandments. Amen. God, help me. I want to get there. I want to get there. I just love that God will keep me straight if I will just keep his commandments. So that's the extent of it now. I hope you got that. That's the extent of it. He said, I love all of God's word. I love it when God tells me you cannot do this or you must do that. The second thing, not just the extent of it, but the expression. He said, I'm not ashamed to let people know. He actually said it right out. Notice if you would in verse number 46. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed. I want people to know I love God's word. I'm not ashamed of God's word. I'll quote it in the office. I'll quote it in the supermarket. I'll stand and let people know I am not ashamed of God's word. Will you? Do you? Brethren, there's a movement that's trying to get us to be ashamed. They're trying to shut our mouths. They do not want us to mention God's word. You know, it's really, and I don't want to get too deep into this because I don't think we have to deal with this, but I do want to awaken you if you're asleep in this area. I want to awaken you on some things. We're living in a day where it's okay for any kind of filth and gutter language that come out of someone's mouth in the presence of women and children, but they want me to be okay with that. I will never be okay with that. Amen. By the grace of God, I will never be okay with that. And yet, if you mention the name Jesus, or if you mention a Bible or a Bible verse, they act like you have that, you know, you've gone against their liberties or their rights. While they spew out poison and filth and vulgarity, and you let somebody mention something about Jesus or the Bible, and they act like you have really gotten out of line. Boy, our society's turned around, isn't it? And so I pray that we would express our love. Now look at it in verse number 48. You see that first word, my? Here's what the psalmist is saying. Like, I can't control what you do. I'm not in control of your hands. But I am in control of mine. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with my hands. I'm going to lift them before the Lord. That's what he said. Look at it in verse number 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. I'm going to lift my hands. You know, you're in church sometimes and people lift their hands. Sometimes they lift their hands. Yeah, that's just what Pentecostals do. And that's what Christians do. That's what psalmists do. That's what God's people do. And so don't judge people for lifting their hands and snicker and laugh. You might ought to lift one too. You say, well, I would, but what? You're ashamed? He had just said, hey, even when I'm before kings, no dignitary, no authority, no politician, no preacher, no highbrow is going to keep me from proclaiming my love for God's word. You say, well, are you saying if I don't lift my hand, I don't love God's word? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that others that do, now don't mock it. Don't judge it. Don't despise it. He said, I'm going to lift my hands. Look at it, verse number 48. He said, I can't tell you to lift yours. I'm not in control of your hands. But I do hope by me lifting my hands, it will inspire you to do something. Amen. He said, you know, sometimes we have to do more than say we love. We've got to show we love with an outward expression. And so he said, I'm going to lift my hands unto thy commandments. And so he said, that's the extent. He said, I'm going to lift my hands up. And he said, I like what he said. He said, this is my love for the commandments. I like he said, which, look at it in verse 48, I have loved. Past tense. But when you look at the first part of this verse, it says, my hands also will I lift up. I'm going to do it now. I have done it, and I'm going to continue to do it with some consistency. What's the psalmist saying, brethren? What's he saying? He's saying, you know what? I'm going to be consistent and do. I'm going to love God's word, whether I feel like it or not. Sometimes I come to church, and I know this is probably not. I don't know. I'm going to say it anyway because, you know, I'm me. I don't feel like preaching. But I'm going to preach anyway. Sometimes I don't feel like saying amen. But I'm going to say amen anyway. You say, that's faith. Nah. God said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Didn't say when you felt like it now. Amen. Just praise God. Sometimes if you don't feel like it, if you'll praise God anyway, it might get you more feeling like it. I've done it. It's a fact. I think the psalmist is saying, he's saying, you know, I'm just going to lift my hands to God's commandments and say, you know, man, that's tough. Some of those commandments are tough. They are. And some of the things that God will ask me to do and some of the things God will ask you to do, I mean, it's a little difficult. But he said, I'm going to lift my hands. So I just love it when God tells me what to do. I just love it when God keeps me in line. When God sets the boundaries, when God makes it plain, when God makes it clear what he wants me to do. I need that in my life. Can I tell you, I do too. You do too. Whether we realize it or not, we need what this psalmist realized that he needed. He needed the commandments to help him to understand what God had for him. I need them too. And so he said, I just love it. He said, I'm going to lift my hands unto thy commandments which I have loved. I've loved them. They brought me from where I was to where I am. And I'm going to continue to lift my hands to them because I know they're good for me. They're good for me. And then finally, and this will be the final thing. He said, and I will meditate in thy statutes. We use the word meditate a lot. I think the best definition I've ever heard of meditation was meditation is to my soul what digestion is to my body. Meditation is something you just kind of chew on and you just get all of the flavor, all of the nutrients, all of the vitamins, and it just disperses in your body and it makes you healthy and it makes you stronger, and that's what digestion is to the body. But you know what? Meditation is that to the soul when we meditate. Now, what does it mean to meditate? Well, it means to ponder. It means to converse with oneself, to muse, to pray, to talk with. You know, sometimes when you're reading God's word, God will talk to you. That's what his word does. But the old timers used to have a saying, don't let God be the only one talking while you're reading his word. You talk to him. You pray, God, help me. Enlighten me. That's good, Lord. This is good for me. Remember what Peter said? It's good for us to be here. Amen. Yeah. And sometimes when you get to reading God's word, Sharon and I, as we've been reading those chapters together, sometimes my soul is just flooded. Just God's word just floods your soul, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Do you love God's word? Does it just fill you up when you're reading it? Sometimes your eyes just well up with tears and your heart just swell up with thanksgiving? We were reading this morning out of Luke, and we read about the nativity, some people call it, you know. But, and I just got to reading, and as we were reading, my heart was just rejoicing. I am so glad that Jesus came. And I don't ever want to just take that for granted I don't want that just to be something that I think on around after Thanksgiving and before New Year's. I want to constantly be thankful. God, thank you. Thank you for sending your son into the world. I just want my heart to always embrace that and be thankful for it. And I believe you do too. Do you love God's word? Reading these chapters, let me close with this. I wrote this down. This will be my final thought here on this. Did you notice what he did here? He said, first of all, he said, I'm going to say I love God's word. And I think that's the easiest part. We say, I love God's word. But then he said, I'm going to show that I love God's word. Outwardly. I'm going to lift my hands up. Is that what he said? That's a kind of an outward. I'm going to show I love God's word. This is going to be my outward expression of an inward work. The love of God is spilling over my heart. I'm going to lift up my hand to God's word. But then he said, I'm going to prove. Now this is where the rubber meets the road. It's one thing to say I love God's word. It's quite another to show. I mean, and I'm talking about something real here. I'm not talking about a show now. I'm not talking about putting on a front and faking. I'm talking about something that's genuine. Genuine worship. God, I love your word. And I just want to express myself outwardly through the lifting of my hands or the saying of amen or the tears that flow down my cheeks, whatever. But the last part of this verse is saying, I'm going to prove it. Notice what he said. And I will meditate. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to spend time musing, conversing, meditating, communicating in God's word. I don't know what day it was, but as we were reading, it was probably the day I didn't do all my reading. I thought, this is a lot. Probably the chapters had 72 and 81 verses or something, I don't know. And I don't know, God just smote me in my heart. And I think that's what brought me to this that I've shared with you tonight. It is a lot when it's a duty. And I ask God to forgive me. God, I don't want to just read 10 chapters a day just to check a box. But I do want to read 10 chapters a day. I want to do it out of delight. I want to just stay in God's word. Now listen, I'm not saying if you don't read 10 chapters of the Bible a day, you don't love God's word. That is not what I'm saying. But I am asking, do you love God's word? Do you look forward to to getting in God's Word? Is it something that you anticipate? Is it something that you look forward to doing? Do you love God's Word? All right, let's stand up. Give you an opportunity to stretch your legs a little bit. You love God's Word? I can't answer for you. I can answer for me, but I can't answer for you. Does it bother you? Not your conscience, but your heart. When you're not in God's Word, as you should be. Because you miss it. Not because you know that it's right to be in God's Word, but because you miss it. And you yearn and you long for it. I believe that's the way it ought to be. And I believe when it's not that way, well, we have some work to do. Bow your head with me, if you would, just for a moment. I'm thankful for people who understand